Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Stephen Roberts said, "Art without engineering is dreaming. Engineering without art is calculating." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who ties art into engineering. Today's Playmakers company received the Excellence in Engineering Award for the very first public-private partnership for the $4 billion construction of the LBJ Corridor. With us today is a CEO who has saved project owners hundreds of millions of dollars. This great playmaker is Mansoor Ahsan. Mansoor is CEO of Bridge Farmer and Associates. Now, Mansoor is named Chief Executive Officer of Bridge Farmer and Associates in 2002. He's held executive positions at ENR Top 100 Engineering Firms in the capacity of Chief Structural Engineer, Director of Transportation Services, and Principal Engineer. Founded in 1976, Bridge Farmer has been headquartered in Dallas, Texas for over 40 years. Bridge Farmer handles complex, major and minor highways, railroads, and bridge-type projects. Within the past 5 years, Bridge Farmer has prepared as lead engineer firm and has partnered other firms over $5 billion in heavy civil infrastructure projects within Texas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. In addition, Bridge Farmer has established satellite offices within Texas. They're in Arkansas, Colorado, and Georgia. With bridge engineering as his true passion, Mansoor is a well-recognized civil engineer and is a registered professional engineer in over 30 states. Under Mansoor's leadership, the Bridge Farmer team has expanded its footprint both internationally and domestically in the southern region of the United States. Well, Mansoor, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm excited about talking about this, but my first question is, how did you go from getting your master's degree in structural engineering at Bradley University in Peoria to becoming a CEO in Dallas?
I don't know how it worked out, but Steve, this was never planned like that, but life worked out the way it worked out. You know, I'm a Midwestern boy. I'm not from southern United States and certainly not from Texas, but Texas has been so very good to us and to my family. And I tell my friends over here, there is no state better than Texas in the country. Having said that, I worked on various projects in the nation. So the company I was with, they had a contract with DART when we were doing the first extension, and I was part of that project. So I came from Illinois. Actually, I was hired in Florida, and then I came here. And I worked on that project. I worked with Gary Thomas, who is the president of DART. He and I worked together on that project, and Gary is a very good project manager, if you didn't know. But since then, I have been able to stay in Dallas area and work on railroad projects as well as various other projects. And then the organization I was with, they moved me to Seattle area. I work on in Western United States. And after that, I guess it was my calling that I joined Bridge Farmer. And as a project manager, as vice president here, and as they say, rest is history, and then here I am.
Well, it's interesting with what you do. We spoke a little bit before the show started in terms of projects you've worked on, which I want to ask you about. But for the average person, tell us about Bridge Farmer & Associates. What do you do? Where do you specialize?
So Bridge Farmer is 100% transportation firm. So we do roads, railroads, roadways, bridges, hydraulics, and alike. Anywhere, everywhere in the country. Our home is Texas. Dallas is our headquarters. We work in a number of states. Right now we are registered in about 25 states, and we do business at least in 10 states. And our recent addition is in the state of Georgia, and we have opened up an office in Atlanta. Basically, Bridge Farmer improves, I call it, the improves the lives of people in terms of mobility. You, myself, and others have sat through traffic and frustrated and say, man, what a mess. And somebody got to do something about it. And that's my passion. So the mobility solutions we provide are truly to help the mankind. If you think about it, I certainly am not a doctor. I'm not a surgeon. I can't improve somebody's life. I cannot come up with that magic pill and so on. But we can build an interchange where a ambulance could take 2 hours to get to a person's house, and now with the improved facility can be there within 15 minutes or 20 minutes. That's our contribution to the society. This is what I truly believe, that we can make the change to the lives of people. And that has been what drives me, and that's what drives Bridge Farmer and our staff. So we are, we fully believe that our calling is different and our profession is part of it. And we are part of that bigger picture where we can make the difference in people's lives.
As far as engineering is concerned, I would see you more as a specialty engineering firm. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. So transportation, so we are civil engineers. Civil engineering is a bigger field. It's a much larger field, which includes buildings, which includes environmental, which includes geotechnical surveying, and all kinds of other elements which are part of civil engineering. Transportation is one function of civil engineering. So we are specialized, and we are further specialized in complicated structures, complicated projects, complicated corridors. And we take a lot of pride in things which nobody wants to touch and nobody wants to deal with, and they are too political or too difficult to handle or too complicated. So when we did the very first four-level interchange in the Little Rock area, that's the first interchange of that nature in for the state of Arkansas, and we worked on that, and we have completed that project and has won so many recognitions and award, and it's the Grand Conceptor Award for the state of Arkansas. The big part of that is that when we started that project, it was not even conceivable. Yeah, we knew that this is the solution. So it took us to educate the client. It took us time to educate the public, went through public involvement, and then, of course, went through the client, and then in making sure that there are fundings available to build that job. And today, you can move there very fast. And there are a number of projects like that in Metroplex, and I take a lot of pride in stating that if you are in Metroplex area, you will have to drive through our projects from point A to B. I don't care which part of Metroplex you are in, you will be riding on some of our projects for sure.
I'm going to ask you about a couple of your projects in a moment, but you mentioned something about being stuck in traffic a moment ago. My guess is because you have the passion of what you do, when you're stuck in traffic, does your mind become creative in terms of what could we do to change this so the traffic wouldn't be such so tied up as it is?
Very much so. So it's the passion which generally engineers carry, and that is the differentiator you have as an engineer compared to anybody else. So when you are stuck and you start to figure out, why am I stuck? What is the reason why the traffic is stuck? Well, God forbid if there is an accident, so that's part one. But there is not enough capacity. That is the problem we are faced with in the state of Texas now, that, you know, if there are 1,000 people moving to state of Texas every day, and we don't have enough infrastructure to accommodate all those people. So you cannot just keep on stating that, okay, we need to keep on adding lanes and lanes and lanes. All these projects cost money, and it costs financing. So Texas has been very good about finding different sources of funding. And it's not just the fundings through the conventional methods, which we have used in the past, where funds were coming from the state, and in case of Texas, it was TxDOT and TTA and cities and counties. But those were the tools which were used to expand and to do the mobility project, and those were the capital improvement projects which were available. But several years ago, when Governor Rick Perry was there, there were new tools added to the toolbox. And Texas was on the forefront of looking at how do we improve the mobility. So there were tools added as a PPP, which is private-public partnership. There was design-build, which is a designer and builders get together and build the corridor, and so that there is an improvement on mobility. That those tools have really, really helped us quite a bit. So I go over throughout the country in many different states, and Texas is the model for many of those projects. A lot of states are copying Texas model. I was in Maryland about a few months ago, and they have a project coming up, and they are copying Texas model how to deliver corridors. South Carolina just came up with a similar project, and they are copying Texas model. So we have been fortunate, and our leadership has been very good about thinking it through and seeing what's coming and what's down the pipe. So that has worked out very well for the state and, of course, for companies like us who do business with the state.
Let's talk about the LBJ corridor for those who live in Texas, specifically in Dallas. They know about LBJ and the work that was done to expand it and put the express lanes in there. Talk about your participation, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is one of the first public-private projects that occurred in the state of Texas, especially the size of it being $4 billion. Is that correct?
Well, so what brought me to Dallas area was the very first project which state of Texas did was State Highway 130. That is the corridor from Austin to San Antonio, and it was developed under exclusive development agreement. That was $1.4 billion project. So we worked on that corridor, and then that gave us confidence that there are tools which could be applicable, and there are tools which could apply to projects of the magnitude of an LBJ. An LBJ project is an interesting project because it was first of its kind for the magnitude, as you pointed out, Steve, but more importantly is how it could be done in a heart of a city where predictability of traffic from point A to point B was so difficult. You remember not too long ago, you go from, say, I-5 to 635-35 interchange, and you don't know when you will get from point A to point B. Now you can predict. Now you know when you will be at certain meeting, you can make it, or if you have to reach to your destination, you can calculate that time. But the project came about. It's very interesting how the project came about. It was supposed to be a tunnel project, and TxDOT thought that there, by building a tunnel underneath the existing LBJ, was a good way of improving capacity. So our team came up with an idea of an open cut. So you see now that it's a depressed section, but it doesn't have a dome on top of it. It is open. You can see sky. So it improves the safety. It improves the health and fire and all the hazards. So, and that also saved a lot of money. Close to $400 million is what it saved us, is the reason why we got the rights to develop this corridor compared to the competing teams.
So part of what you did was you put new creative plans into place, and you saved, what, at least 10%?
Easily.
Which is a major portion of that. Talk about the public-private funding and how that varies from what's gone on in the past in other major projects.
So there are many tools, but generally these are the three basic tools used to develop a corridor. Of course, the conventional method is that an owner selects a designer, owner selects a contractor on the low bid, and we build a corridor. The other method is what we call it is a design build, which is essentially a contractor and a designer get together, but they will build a corridor for an owner for a set amount of funding. And there are several projects. Right here in Metroplex is DFW Connector over by the airport. By the DFW airport, it was a design build project where our team worked with the the state of Texas, but state of Texas paid us to complete that project. And then there is this latest edition, which is a P3, which is private-public partnership. The developer includes designer and builders, and then it also includes finance houses, and they bring in the funding for the developing of the corridor. And LBJ was an example of that, where a private company, through their own sources of funds, came through to develop that corridor, and state DOT only contributed maybe 10% or less to develop that $4 billion corridor. So that tool has been useful, but it has its challenges because, of course, it's expensive to pay a toll. It's expensive on people to realize that, gee, it's sort of double taxation and so on. So I understand the arguments from both sides of
it. But it provides an alternative, too.
But it is an alternative. You also have free general purpose roads, and you can use those as well. So it's not the tool which fits every situation, but it's one of the tools which is available for DOT for mobility.
Well, you worked on another project, much smaller. Isn't there a walkway bridge over LBJ that you put together?
Yeah, so it's in the procurement process. It's a new bridge which is which will be Skillman Bridge over by the east side of the LBJ 635 and 75 interchange, and that structure is a top-down construction. So when we proposed it, we were selected through the city of Dallas, and they wanted it not to disrupt the traffic on 635. So we came up with an idea of building a tied arch from top down and without impacting the traffic on 635. And now I think it's a different kind of procurement, and it's going through LBJ's procurement, and maybe a different kind of a project when it's all said and done.
You were telling me before the show started how it's therapy for you to go to your projects and watch what's going on and see the project in motion. But as CEO, you are the leader of Bridge Farmer and Associates. Along the way, how did you develop your leadership skills to run a company of this size?
So if I can sum up in few words, what is it that drives me? Yes, I have responsibilities as corporation has put upon me, but I am a bridge engineer. I like bridges. I like to find solutions to complicated projects. I do want to leave behind a legacy. I do want to leave behind something which my children, my grandchildren can state that, wow, there were people who were a lot wiser than us who did this for generations to come. As I was talking to you about John Roebling on the Brooklyn Bridge, that's fascinating. To do structures like that, it's fascinating. So to your question, what works for me is the passion. I have the drive and I have the passion to make difference. So what I do is essentially that. So I go to the job site, as we were talking earlier, that it helps me to see how things are progressing, but it also helps me how we can do better. So recently, we did a project with the state of Texas on 75 over by your part of the world, over at Plano Parkway. And we did a accelerated bridge construction. So an ABC is a big deal for nowadays in the bridge world. And the accelerated bridge construction is essentially you construct a bridge on the side and then you slide it in its final position. And we did that last month or month before that, and it came out very well. We had to do the same thing for a railroad structure for TRE on Bear Creek in Irving. And it worked out very well. We built the bridge on the side, and then the technology is there. We slide it in final position, and it truly reduces the impact on traffic, and you can move from point A to point B much faster, much quicker. So those are the solutions which excites engineers. I mean, engineers like me, they look for things like that. It is where you say, well, huh, that's interesting. Why can't we do that? And you hear these things, oh, they're doing such stuff in Europe, in France, in China, and so on. Believe me, we can do better. We are better. We certainly know how to do things better, and we are very, very competitive when it comes to engineering. So we think that it's the drive which, for me and this company, is there, where we are very passionate of what we do.
And what I hear from what you're saying is you're only limited by your own creativity.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. One of the things we talked about before the show started, was what a big part of your project, a big part of the expenses of a project, is maintaining that roadway during construction. What goes into that creativity in being able to do that, in addition to what you're doing to build the infrastructure?
One of the major components of developing any corridor, regardless how big or small it is, traffic control. Traffic control plans are big, and they have to be fully vetted and fully studied, and has to be well planned, because it impacts people's lives. If they are not well put, it impacts the safety, and it could impact mobility and driving public. While you're doing construction, you also have to respect the fact that the contractors need construction area so they can build the job, as well as you have to have enough lanes for public to travel. They have to be considered for not only the traffic volumes which are going through that corridor, but also extreme events like the rainfalls we were seeing Saturday. So there is a tremendous amount of water. You have to have temporary drainage. You also have to have permanent drainage. While you're building a portion of the project, when another portion is put together next to it, and then when the whole thing works together. So all these pieces of puzzle have to come together, and that's what we do. And that's how we put the entire pieces of puzzle to make it a complete puzzle. What public sees is, and they say, well, it works.
Apparently it does work, because I've traveled over, Jay, and it does work very well. My question to you is, in the past, was there any kind of turning point that solidified what you currently do? Because you're a structural engineer by training, was there something in that career that guided you toward building bridges and being a part of Bridge Farmer?
I will say this, Steve. This is a very good question. The turning point for me was when State of Texas in early 2000s came up with this exclusive development agreement, and mobility and transportation was a problem. And Rick Perry and Rick Williamson, who was the commissioner for Texas Commission, came up with Trans-Texas Corridor. I don't know if you remember that. It was popular one time, and it's not popular now. But what that did was it opened up the opportunities for many, many engineering firms to see what's going on. For me, when I saw that 2007-2008 recession truly messed up many, many colleague firms and many of my engineering firms who were friends who were struggling at that time. So we were fortunate to see that there is a transfer of funding source from TxDOT, from a conventional system, to other means and other ways of doing work. So as soon as we started to study that, we always stayed ahead of the curve. So what has changed me is the strategic thinking of where we are at today and where we are going tomorrow. So if we keep up with that, and know, we don't predict it right all the time, but know where things are moving, you can probably weather the storm a little bit better.
We have been talking with Mansoor Ahsan. He is CEO of Bridge Farmer & Associates. This is fascinating in terms of what you're doing in beginning a project, finishing the project, and all that's in between, because my guess is that there are complications that come up in the middle that you didn't foresee. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And those are the things which keeps you up at night. Because we say, when we did a project downtown Oklahoma City, it was a 16-foot deep through plate girder, and it's probably the deepest section in the country. I wasn't worried about when the trains are running on the bridge. Where we were worried about, and the entire staff of Bridge Farmer was worried about, was during construction. It's what we call as during stitching is what is keeps us up at night. Once it's stitched, I think it will work, and I know it always does. But what keeps us up is knowing how to minimize the risk of the items during construction, and you have to pay attention to those details, that how it impacts people, how it impacts contractors, how it impacts mobility, and how it impacts the product at the end of the day, and the owner, who is, like in this case, TxDOT, ODOT, or whomever else, how else or how could we do it better for them next time?
And all these shareholders include the public who are traveling through that corridor. Ramon Sor, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
I enjoyed it.
Well, you're definitely a playmaker. A playmaker is somebody that makes things happen, and you're doing that.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
So how would someone get a hold of you or Bridge Farmer?
Well, you can always go to our website. It's www.bridgefarmer.com. And you can always email me at asan@bridgefarmer.com. And you can call us at 972-231-8800. Any one of those means. I'm very accessible, and I'm always available to answer any questions.
Mansoor, thank you very much again for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for being a part of this. It's been a terrific show. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we'll be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.